I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. I honor you. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he hath given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping nor weeping, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining.
How beautiful heaven must be.
Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing. And all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Straight all of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. More than fame, wealth, or desire. More than all this world's attire. More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Take my possessions, great and small. Friends and family, you can take them all. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done, enter my child, you won. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. What good is all I've come to know? I'll gain this world, but lose my soul. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. If I can run and keep the pace, then I'll see his blessed face. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to make my name inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well, enter my child, you won. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. More than fame, wealth, or desire. More than all this world's attire. More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Take my possessions, great and small. Friends and family, you can take them all. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well, love, enter my child, you won. But more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find it's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
I will put my trust in Jesus as I lay upon his breast. I will take my comfort from him. I will find in him sweet rest. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. All pain will leave my aching body as his sweet healing flows. Demons tremble at his presence. In Jesus' name they have to go. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. And then one morning in that city I will rise to sleep no more, in God's presence live forever. All sin pain will then be o'er, for there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied.
How can you refuse him now? How can you refuse him now? How can you turn away from his eye? With tears in his eyes, on the cross there he died. How can you refuse Jesus now? There's a storm often been told of how our Savior died. As the nail in his hands, he cried it on the stand. As the blood flowed from his eye. How can you refuse him now? How can you refuse him now? How can you turn away from his side? With tears in his eyes on the cross there he died. How can you refuse Jesus now? As he hung there on the tree, he prayed for you and me. There was no one his pain to ease. Before he died, he faintly cried, Father, forgive them, please. How can you refuse him now? How can you refuse him now? How can you turn away from his side? With tears in his eyes on the cross there he died. How can you refuse Jesus now? Yes, someday everybody has to ask themselves the question. What are you going to do with Jesus? That's what everybody has to face someday.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus,
honor alone, just to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like him. To be like Jesus, to like Jesus, honor I am, just to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like him. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Honor I long just to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like him. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trembling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his faithful life off his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is good to be back home. I took a little road trip down to South Dakota. Had some work to do. So I went to see this. We're going to see this guy in prison, but we got the bull raw, the ball rolling at least, so it was not in vain. Took a 3-4 day trip down there. They're always about the Lord's business. People won't agree with us. That's our main theme in life. Matthew chapter 9. Start in 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And then because they fainted and then were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's what you see out there today. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. That's why we took that trip down there. We were about the Lord's business. We went down there. The Lord's been moving me on for a long time to go see this guy down there in prison. Because he shot his wife. Killed his wife with a shotgun. That was quite a few years ago. That was
2009, I think.
Yeah, 2009. That was 19. Almost 20 years ago. And so it took me a long time to go down and see the guy. But the reason I'm on this, I got to know his wife, Sharon. She's actually my cousin, and not my real cousin, my cousin once removed. And I got to know her. I went out to my cousin's funeral out in Washington State back in the day. And then I saw her and her husband, and they had their son with them. And before that I never even know of them. I didn't even know there was such a person, but they were out there at the funeral too, because it's their Sharon, that's their her pretty much her cousin too. So we're very close related to that Jake out there in Washington State. He comes from Graysville. He left out there and he died out there, so we went out to see him. And to the funeral. That's where I met this couple. And ordinary going, they were just like an ordinary couple. He didn't see nothing going on, like nothing out of the ordinary. It seemed to be all right, like him and their son. They had her son along, and then she was there too. Anyway, when I looked at her, I saw tremendous pain in her eyes. You can't describe the pain that girl was going through, that woman was going through. And like when I look back now, she had nobody to share her pain with. She was just carrying all that pain within herself. And like I said, I didn't know they looked ordinary people, ordinary couple. They seemed to get along pretty good. But why did I feel this tremendous, see this tremendous pain in her eyes, in the back of her eyes? And then after the funeral, I drove home. And this picture kept coming up before me, a tremendous agony of soul and her spirit, and I don't cry easily, but I cried all the way home, a two-day trip home, and I couldn't erase her from my memory, and I didn't know what's going on. It looked like an ordinary young couple and an ordinary family and everything. Looked good, but when I saw and her eyes, I tell you, it was a completely a different picture than what being portrayed out before me. And like everybody, I didn't know know much about them. Just that there was a couple going out to my cousin's funeral, and like. But then I began to, after I came back, I called her up. I called her up and I started communicating with her. And as I started communicating with her, I found out there's a little bit more to this feeling that I had than meets the eye. And I began to find out that it's not going very good with their marriage. And I didn't want to get involved, but then I went to Denver on a funeral, and I figured I'll stop in there and I get to the bottom of it, see what's going on. And so anyway, I stopped in there, and everything looked normal. His son had a baseball tournament, and I got there around 6 o'clock, and we went out to the baseball and watched him play there. And then we came back, and then me and her, we took a drive in my car, and we went out for a drive, and then she started sharing me a little bit of her life story, you know, or she's going through, and how he's abusing her, and all things, one thing led to another. Then I began to see the pain in her eyes, and what this thing was real. And like I say, I began to talk to her, and she shared with me a lot of things that she probably didn't share with a lot of other people. She said he's abusing her, and she's got a restraining order on him, and she's in touch with the sheriff. The sheriff wants me to put a restraining order for good. He said, we'll lock him up. You make sure he doesn't come within quite a distance from you. But we got to work together. You got to work with us here if you want to put a restraining order on. But apparently, I guess he started crying. And I think they had him locked up in prison, too, for a bit there, for abusing her. And then with the whole story, it was a terrible episode, the whole thing. Anyway, that's why I went out there. That's why I stopped in, because about then when I was out in Vancouver and Washington State to my cousin's funeral, I saw the pain in his eyes, in her eyes. Like I say, ordinary going, you won't see nothing wrong. You would think everything is hunky-dory. Everything is just going smooth. But when I saw by the Spirit, it was the Lord was trying to show me something here in this episode. Anyway, eventually it got so bad that then I went down back there a second time, and when I stayed at her place overnight, and in the morning I had to get up pretty early, so I got up around 6, and she got up too, and I told her, you're gonna get away, you need to get away from that guy, because he's gonna kill you. He said, I couldn't sleep all night. I began to see this thing was very serious, but when you look at it from the outside, you would think everything is hunky-dory. He had maybe 6 children, and everything looked good from the outside. I spent quite a bit of time with him. Like I said, we went to the ball game, and everything looked good. But if you listen, if you just look at the natural, like with your natural eye, everything looked good, what I'm mm-hmm. trying to say. But when you see the spirit of the thing, when I saw the spirit, her spiritual condition, and what he's abusing her, and the horror, and the nightmare that I saw in her eyes, and that she's going through. And the thing of it is, she had nobody to confide in. She had nobody to share her pain with, and her sorrow, what she's going through. She had to carry all that weight herself. And like I say, I didn't know her from Adam before that episode, before I went out to the funeral. But see, what the Lord was dealing with me, he allowed me to see the pain that girl is going through. And like I say, ordinary going, you wouldn't see nothing. But anyway, that's why we went on this trip here. We went, I didn't go to her. Eventually shot her and he killed her, and eventually had a funeral. I didn't go to the funeral because I was out there trucking somewhere, but my brother went from the colony. I guess there's quite a few colony people. He went there, and then later on he told me, if I ever go to visit that guy in the prison there that shot his wife. And I said, why Why would I want to go visit him? He shot his wife. Who cares about what happens to him? Why would I go visit him? And, well, maybe you can convert him. Well, it's not up to me to convert anybody. But anyway, that's the episode that I went through. That's why we went down to, we took a drive out there, and here this, the Lord be dealing with me. I was sent that, that was a long time ago. The Lord was trying to break me down and get me to a place where I would actually want to go down there and talk to him about spiritual matters. And God, that's 20 years ago, practically. And now the Lord can, by now, the Lord has broken me down to a place where I would surrender and go and see him. And that was just before that COVID. And I finally surrendered. That was then that COVID came in. Well, I couldn't go across the border without taking that shot, and I wasn't going to take that. So I put that thing on hold, and I didn't go down there at that particular time. But I had at least surrendered my will where, yeah, Lord, I can go down there. If you want me to go down there and talk to the man, I'll go down there and talk to him about heavenly matters, about spiritual things. Because by now, hopefully, thought, well, the Lord's working on both sides. He's worked on him. Maybe he's got him broke down to a place where a person can talk to him. But right out of the gate, I didn't. First, he had to deal with me to get me to a place where I would actually want to go down there and talk to him, because he's still part of the scripture here. The laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Because God, no matter how, God is not willing that anybody should perish. He is bent over backwards for one soul. But if he can only get that person, break down him and get him to kind of be able to communicate and talk with him. But like back when I was out there to visit him and her, he was in no shape or form to talk to him. And I told Sharon, you're going to have to get away from that guy because he's going to kill you. Well, don't you think we could pray about it? No, I said, he has a choice to make. It's his choice. He chooses to live the life he's living, and that's his choice, and you cannot bypass that choice. That's something you can't do. There's only one thing you can do. You can only get away from him because he's going to kill you. And, well, she didn't. She didn't take my advice, and then, that's what the reason I went down there last week. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, Lord. Give you thanks for another day of life, for your traveling mercies, Lord, for the opportunity to be about the Lord's business, Lord. We just pray to just continue to do with us as you see fit. Help us, Lord, to stay faithful and true to your call. And give us the proper faith, the proper things, way to look at things, Lord, and way you're moving here in the closing days of time. And we are eternally grateful that you put us on this course, Lord, that you allowed us to have the proper faith, the proper baptism, and we believe in the one God, and all these things you did for us over the years, Lord, to prepare us for the hour and time we're now living in, because you're not willing that any should perish. We just pray, Lord, you'll open the hearts of the people. Pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
But that's the long and the short of this trip that we went down there. And like I say, we decided here a few days ago, I decided, well, we'll just bite the bullet, take the bull by the horns and go down there. And I just thought it's that simple. Oh, we go down there, he's in Springfield, South Dakota, go down to the prison, talk to the authorities down there, and we'll just go and have a visit with him and see if we can have a conversation with him, and then we'll do our thing, and I'll get this gnawing away that the Lord be dealing with me for years to go, just go there and talk to the man. And finally, the Lord, like I say, finally the Lord broke me down to a place where, yeah, okay, Lord, thy will be done. I'll go and talk to the man. And then on the way down, we decide, well, we should see what Stuart. And so we finally got a hold of his son, that Herman, and we communicated with him. And when we got there, we went to his place. But see, we didn't know we had to fill out a bunch of forms and all that. before we could go in and see him. But then we talked to him, and he said, you can't just drive in there. You have to fill out this form, and then you got to send it in. You got to go through all this paperwork thing.
Well, first you have to fill out the form to be on his visitor list. If you're not on his visitor's list, you cannot even schedule an appointment to go visit.
But what you're trying to say, there's a lot of red tape involved. Mm-hmm. But see, we did. You see, sometimes you just got to move. And then as we begin to move, as we begin to surrender, yeah, okay, Lord, we'll do it. But as we move, we realize there's a little bit more involved. Like you were saying, we had to go down and fill out some forms. And then it's up to him to even allow us to go see him. But we did our part. You can only do so much. You got to let the Lord do the rest. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if they'll even allow it. But see what we did. And then we had a communication with his son. And we had a good visit with his son there. And it turned out all right. He had his bouts with the law and all that, but he seemed to have worked his way out of it, and hopefully things will work out for him. But anyway, that's the reason we went down there to South Dakota, because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, and we were about the Lord's business. He prayed the Lord of the harvest that he sent for labor, and you and I qualified to do that. First of all, before you could go about the Lord's business, you got to make sure that you have the proper faith yourself. Because back in the day, and I was living in that Hutterite colony, and it came to a point in my life where I knew that that Hutterite colony was not the proper faith. Because then, of course, you know the story. You've been listening to you and I talk here over the last 10, 15 years. You're going to know exactly what I'm trying to say. And that colony, they do not have the proper faith. You see, there's only one faith, one baptism, and one God, and that's one of the first scripture the Lord gave me back in the day when I realized that Hutterite thing is farce, it's not real, and I begin out to go up against the leadership, and the Lord gave me a scripture, there's one faith, one baptism, and one God. And it was up to me to find out where that one faith is. And I knew that Hutterite thing was not that one faith, even though there's thousands of people out in these colonies, and they think they got that one faith. But at least I, for myself, at least I know great step number one, I had to realize that that Hutterite thing is not the proper faith. Mm-hmm. It's not that one faith that the Bible talks about. So the Lord put me on this journey to find His one faith. It took me years to come to the understanding that the Hutterite thing is not it. It's just a farce. And then the Lord allowed circumstances to happen that eventually I was terminated from that system because I knew it was the right faith. So I began on this journey. The Lord took me on this journey. He took me through the Pentecostal system. He took me, first of all, to the Mennonite, and I found out, that's just another outright colony. And then I went to the Pentecostals, and church to church, and there's some truth, and each one of them have a certain amount of truth. But when I analyzed it all, the scripture, I knew that was not what I was looking for. I was looking for that one faith that the Bible talks about. And then as time went on, the Lord brought me to the ministry of Brother Branham, and then once I come to that, it was like a brand new avenue opened up for me. Man, God sent the prophet. And then I begin to finally come to grips with myself. There is that one faith. There is that one baptism. They believe Acts 2:38, you got to get baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I found that one baptism at least.
Yeah.
And then, the Lord kept moving me on, and then I found then from Brother Branham from I was out in Cloverdale, Bible Way out there, and at least I found that one baptism, and then I got baptized in Jesus' name by immersion out there, and then the Lord dealt with me, and He moved on me to come to the ministry of Brother Raymond M. Jackson. And when I found out about Brother Raymond M. Jackson and the ministry, then I found that one faith. And now I got the package. Now I got one faith, one baptism, and by now I knew there's only one God. There's one, that great eternal spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's how the Lord led and guided me to this one faith that you and I have now enveloped, engulfed ourselves in, immersed ourselves in. We found that one faith for our day and hour, which was under the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson. And we just saturated ourselves for the last 10, 15 years, as long as he was alive, up until 2004, when the Lord took Brother Jackson off the scene. And mm-hmm. that was the place to be. That was where it was at. That was that one faith, one baptism, and one God. That's the message for our day and our time when Brother Jackson was here.
That's right. Then, that guy, I knew on the colony that was not the one God on the Hutterite colony. It talks about in Ephesians, one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I knew that Hutterite God was not it, because I experienced God on the colony, and it was not the Hutterite God that I experienced. I knew it. There was a difference, and then your life just keeps on moving, and when you're old enough to make a decision, when the Lord saved me, I wanted to get baptized, and then I was baptized on the Hutterite colony in the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost by sprinkling, and I knew that was not the right baptism, because something in my spirit let me know this is not right. And it wasn't until about some years later that I came to the understanding of what the real baptism was, and that is Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ where that name has been given, whereby man can be saved. It is that name. When you will read Matthew 28, it says, baptize them in the name. See, Jesus is that name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because he is the one that went to Calvary. And he is that name. The others are not names, they're titles. And you come to the knowledge of what that baptism is, and that you need to be baptized in. And that's what the baptism that I, when I came to the understanding of it, I said, Lord, this is the baptism that I want to be baptized in. And then I came to the faith, that the one faith that was here when Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, that was that continuing stream, when you will look at the Lord Jesus Christ when he died at Calvary and he gave the keys to Peter, and that set a stream going of how God was going to move in the grace age. He went through the seven church ages, and then he came to the last one of Laodicea. That was our church age. That was the faith that we became part of. And then I realized that is that whole package that mm-hmm. you need, that one God, one faith, and one baptism.
And that's why the Lord, when he saw... See, you can't go out there and evangelize people when you still need to be evangelized yourself. But see, I'm trying to do, you put one foot ahead, and then you can't go out there and try to convert the world when you're not even converted yourself. You got to get first things first. First, I got to find that one faith, one baptism, and then one God. And then the Lord saw me, and he began to work on me to go out there and to have a conversation, to go down there. And like I said, he's been dealing with me for years to soften me up to a place where I can finally get to that place where I can go down and talk to that man and that person that killed his wife. Like I say, God is not willing that anybody should perish. He, no matter what a person does, God is willing and able to forgive him if only that person can get to a place where he can really confess his sin, then take it to the Lord. If he does not repent, and if he still wants to justify himself, if he doesn't come to the Lord with gut-wrenching repentance, then and only then can the Lord do anything for him. He's going to rot at that prison if he does not go to the Lord and true, genuine repentance. Jesus is the only one that can get them out of that prison. Until he does that, he's going to rot them there. I'm sure his family would, some of them would love to see him out, but he's going to be locked up there for, if he cannot convince himself, if he cannot get to that place where he can do a gut-wrenching repentance.
That's right.
And then the Lord will go to work on him.
And you have to understand, there's a physical prison, right? There's a prison where you're locked up, and like a penitentiary or any prison that's mm-hmm. out there. When you do something wrong, that's where people put them. But then there's the next prison. If you do not repent and show remorse, just like it says, a contrite heart and a broken spirit, the Lord will never, never reject. See, that's the real prison a person is in, mm-hmm. is when they don't come to that repentance and that remorse from knowing that they have done wrong, and to just acknowledge it and to pour it out before the altar of the, you know, before the cross, that you need a forgiveness. You know, that's the real prison a person is in when they cannot ask for forgiveness. That I've done wrong. I need you, Lord. I have sinned. And, you know, and if you justify yourself, you're in a prison worse than a physical prison. Mm-hmm. That's the real prison that people are in when they do not acknowledge their wrong and that they need a Savior. Because you like we know we're all sinners. We're shaped in iniquity. We come into this world speaking life. There's no none righteous, none one. But like if you don't never come to that place of remorse and repentance, then you are in a prison.
And it doesn't matter where you're at. You can be in an outright cult and still be in prison. You can be in this religious system out here. A lot of these substitutes that the devil puts up there. Because he does not want you to find the real thing. He worked overtime to keep me away from the real faith, mm-hmm. that one faith, one baptism, and now I'm locked up in the Hutterite prison, and then I was locked up in the Pentecostal prison, then I was locked up in this prison and that prison. These are all just religious prisons. It wasn't until I did that true repentance, I come to the understanding of that one faith, one baptism, and one God. And that's where I found it, the message for your day. And that's what we're trying to put out there to this very day. We've been found faithful and true that the Lord can now send us. He can send us out in the harvest. And that's the reason we went down to South Dakota last week. We didn't get to see it, but the process is on it. Hopefully, mm-hmm. they'll let us pass us so that they'll give us the jurisdiction or the right to go down there and visit them, and hopefully he'll allow this process to go ahead. But see, we do our part. If it works, fine. If it doesn't work, at least we will have done that knowing that the Lord put on my heart, I got to go down there and visit that man and that prison. Mm-hmm. But on the process to doing that, we'll run into obstacles, and we'll probably meet some people along the way that also need to know about salvation. Just because you're in a little prison, you're in a penitentiary, there's thousands of people that are also at a religious prison or in a prison of their own making. Mm-hmm. And it's not until you come to the faith, to the one faith, the one baptism, and the one God, and that's what you and I have. We got the worst. We can go out there and we can tell people about it because we have finally found it. We bypassed all these substitutes. I've met a lot of people over the years, and they're, each one of them, they're stuck up in their own prison like that. Telling you about that Dave Waller. He decided one day he wants to be evangelist, and then he wants to have a radio ministry. But all it is something of his own doing. He doesn't even believe that God sent the prophet. He doesn't even believe in baptism in Jesus' name. He believed on it. Yet he goes out there and tries to convert. But first of all, things got to be first things first. You've got to find that on one faith, one baptism, and then one God. And once you do that, then and only then do you have the rights and the license to go out there and talk to somebody else. You and I, we got the full package. We, you and I, can now make ourselves available to the Lord. Lord, thy will be done.
Yeah.
If you want me to go down there, if you want us to go down there, talk to that man down there in that prison, we're willing and able and qualified to do this very thing. And you and I, we're the only two people that can get that man anything, because, like I say, we have the one faith, we have the one baptism, and we believe in that one God, and we believe the message for our day. Now we could go out there, we could tell people about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, but first of all, we got to fight it ourselves, first of all, because before you can give it to somebody else. Otherwise, what you're doing, if I go out there and do my own thing, I'm just going to put them into my own prison.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm at. I got to be free to be about the Lord's business. I see thousands of people out there, they decided one day they're going to start up their own religion. All it is another prison, and what it's going to evolve into is another synagogue of Satan, like the Amish and the different millions and millions of religions out there, and everybody thinks they're doing God a service. But all it is, it's another religious prison, and you and I, we have worked our way out of these religious
places.
Now we're free to be about the Lord's business. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line.
A lot of people, they think they can do God a service, and it's not even His will. Like it says, like, what profit a man that he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? A lot of people, they go about and try to do something for God, and in the end, it's just their own idea of mm-hmm. what God wants. Just like Cain, he had his own idea what to bring God on his sacrifice, and he brought the fruits of the field. Let's see, that was his own righteousness, his own ways of doing something. And then there was Abel. He knew that God required a blood sacrifice for sin. And that's what he brought, and that's why God could ignite it, because it was all lining up with the scripture, with what the will of God was. The will of God was for a blood sacrifice, and Abel knew that, and that's what he brought, and it was a sacrifice to him, because it probably was his little lamb that he had, a little friend, and it was without blemish. It was a perfect little lamb that he brought to God, and it was a sacrifice. And
mm-hmm.
and he brought it to God because that's the will, that was the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same way a lot of people, they try to bring God a sacrifice, but it's not His will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never really a sacrifice. It's just what they think they could bring to God, and
their own good works.
Their own good works. And in the end, it's just their own, like building on wood, hay, and stubble. And it's never going to, in the eyes of God, it doesn't mean anything.
At the end of the day, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that qualified you and me to take the bull by the horns and go down eventually, hopefully, prayerfully, we'll be able to talk that man in prison, because even as low as that guy saying that he could actually go out there and shoot his own wife and rob his own children from their mom and do all these dastardly things, diabolical, satanic things. And now the Lord has qualified you and me to go down there and get this show on the road, and eventually, hopefully, like I say, we'll be able to top them, because you and I are the only two people that qualify, because we have found that one faith, and we can go down there, and now we can move on to the next chapter. But in order to do that, we have to be right ourselves. It was not my idea to go down. It was the Lord moving on me. And like I say, before that covenant came in, I was ready. I had everything I needed to go. It was just a matter of going down there, and we had a day set aside where we're going to go. And then lo and behold, that COVID came in, and then you couldn't cross the border, and then we put it on hold until here last week. The Lord moved on us to just go down there and continue on with the program.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our program. I would never in a million years even think about going down there. But the Lord been dealing with me, finally broke me down, saying, I want you to go down there and visit that man in prison. And then we'll eventually, we got the ball rolling, we get the paperwork filled out, and now it's up to, we did everything that we knew to do. Now it's up to the authorities, and you know, you got to go through the proper procedures, and first things first. But mm-hmm. we did our part, and that's why we're grateful that the Lord would find us not only willing and able, that we got the proper equipment, the proper faith to do that. You mm-hmm. know, that's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just grateful for that, and the Lord gave us traveling mercies that here we're back home again, and then hopefully the process will just go ahead.
That's right. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. We give you thanks, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to go down there and get things going, Lord, that you would see fit us to work on our behalf, Lord, to make that little trip down there and to visit with his son, Lord. And we know that that family is faced with a lot of heartache, Lord, because of that incident, Lord. But you know, all things work together for good in the end, Lord. We just pray for their deliverance, Lord, from all those things that will hinder them down the road of life, Lord, that they can find a resting place in Jesus, Lord, and all these forces, the enemy and all his tactics cannot touch them, Lord, that they're in a safe place of you, Lord, in your loving hands, Lord. And we just pray for them, Lord, that they'll reach that place in you, Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, where there's safety, where there's protection from all harm, Lord, and you will take care of them from here unto the eternity, Lord. We just pray for that man in prison, Lord, that he'll come to repentance, Lord. We just pray that he'll work on his heart, Lord, that he'll be able to repent and own up to his mistakes, Lord, and what he's done, Lord, and that he can find forgiveness in you, Lord, and those prison walls can come down, Lord. We just pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.